All right, so here we are, Matthew 17. Everybody there? One more time, if you don't mind, let's stand to honor God's Word. The reason we do that is to honor His Word, folks. It is paramount. It is all-sufficient. It is relevant. It is perfect. Oh, here's a big word. Ready for this one? It's immutable. That's 35 cents at least. It means it's unchangeable. You know why? Because our God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All right, well, let's jump in here. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Isn't that an understatement? That's an understatement. Oh, anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lift up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, let's pray right there. Father, thank you for this week. Thank you for the faith promise that's come in. Thank you for this church here in Macon. That's going to make a difference in the world for eternity because of what you've done this week. We give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. We ask you to meet with us one more time now as we close out. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we're going to take a look at a mountaintop experience, but I want to deal with what happens when they came down from the mountaintop. Church, I believe we've had a great week. I'd even say that we've had a mountaintop experience. These three men had a mountaintop experience alone with Jesus, but now it was time to come down. Church, here's my question. Is your faith ready to come down from this mountain? Amen. Brother Paul, the Church of Philippi in 3:13 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those who make some good life verses, no doubt. So let us turn to this account, Matthew, as recorded for us and preserved in God's eternal Word, to look at 3 aspects of a mountaintop experience. 3 aspects of a mountaintop experience. The first one, in fact, this is a rarity. You guys ought to really say thank you for this one, okay? Because all 3 of my points actually have the same letter in the beginning. I'm so excited. That only happens like once every 2 years for me. So anyway, it did today. Ready? Here's 1. Requirements to have a mountaintop experience. The requirements to have a mountaintop experience. If you're going to have a mountaintop experience, folks, with the Lord Jesus Christ, almost goes without saying, you have to be saved. I mean, something needs to be done first. You must be born again. The death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel. And how can one have a mountaintop experience with the Lord if you don't know the Lord? And for example, if you're saved, you have a testimony. And we've been challenged this week by God's Word. In fact, a former possessed man. Write it out. And if you thought about that a little bit between then and now, and you think, you know, I don't really have a testimony. Maybe I ought to get saved. Because if you're saved, you have a testimony. Doesn't matter what kind of testimony, you have one if you got saved. Amen? So in John 3:7, it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Now, I realize this afternoon is probably more than likely everyone here saved, but I don't want to take that for granted. Folks, I don't know your heart. Only the Lord knows these things. But you know this verse. Let's just say it together for the sake of dealing with the mountaintop experience of being saved. Good old John 3:16. Everyone together out loud at the same time. Ready? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, to have a mountaintop experience, we've already agreed, one must be saved. So 1B, that was 1A. 1B is, then you need to be surrendered. Or I could say submitted. In fact, here's an old-time word. And a lot of us in here are experienced. Notice I didn't say older. Okay? But this word we might remember from back yonder, consecrated. You don't hear it a whole lot today. But man, that's still a good word. So if we're going to have a mountaintop experience, yeah, we need to be saved. We also need to be surrendered, or from our past of a good word for us, consecrated. Consecrated fully to the Lord. Earlier in this passage, in fact, from chapter 16, Matthew verse 24, then Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Yeah, amen. In the reward for surrendering, the reward for consecrating to the Lord is in verse 27 of Matthew 16. It says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." Folks, I realize it's not popular in 2022 to preach separation. But separation is still a Bible doctrine. And God puts a premium on it all the way from the beginning to the end. I appreciate the fact the church still has standards. You could probably name on your hand 15 other churches in Macon that don't have standards. So I'm not trying to badger or one above the other, but I want to say this. Thank you for keeping the standards. You know, don't ever change the Bible. There's only one. It's the King James. Don't move off from it. Don't back up on your music standard. Keep it God-honoring. Amen. Keep your dress. Dress just right. A lot of us are from the generation back when we'd hear a phrase like this, "Sunday go to meeting clothes." How many heard that before? Four of us, see, I told you. Well, there's something to that. This generation today, they look for excuses for down-dressing on everything. Wait a minute. Not that I have to wear a real expensive suit to go to church. You've missed the whole idea. Well, we're coming to the house of God. And we should wear our best. And there's been a few churches and regions I've been in, brother. The best was a flannel shirt and a really good pair of jeans. And I'm not necessarily saying that's what you would switch to, but for that area, there were a bunch of farmers, and that was their best. Well, I'm not going to, you know, lamb blast them for something like that. They're doing their best for the Lord. But in this area, you and I both know that's not the best. See? That's what I'm talking about. Because He's worth it. And how we dress reflects who we serve. And it affects our attitude of how we worship Him. Well, amen. I'm not just saying, if we're going to have a mountaintop experience, we've got to be saved. And we have to be surrendered. And there's that consecration. And then there's a reward for that, because He said He's going to reward every man according to his works. Well, praise God, Jesus is coming back. I think we established that in the morning hour. It's not too long from now, folks. And these rewards are based on our works. And I praise God for on January 27, 1980, that's when I was born again. 6 months later, on a Friday night of a revival, all week long, I just felt prompted to go forward. and I go forward or wasn't anything and just felt prompted every night. And Friday I get there, the Friday night, and it's like, Lord, I felt like you wanted me to move out all week. I don't really know what you're wanting. I'm here to just surrender. And it was that night on June 27, 1980, God called me to preach. And he didn't talk to me in an audible voice, but it was very, very clear to me. I knew I was going to work with youth, knew I was going to pastor, knew I was going to be an evangelist back then. That's God's call. And I never knew what kind of an evangelist until about 8 years ago when God started moving our heart. I thought working with the police department, what we do, that is evangelism. But I didn't know what venue, but now we do. Travel down the highway, amen? And not to say he would never let me pastor again. I'm just saying right now that he wants us on the road. So praise God for him. This is all him. So when we're having these meetings, a mission revival, preacher even alluded to that a little while ago, folks, that's when we're surrendering to Jesus as our head, as our Lord and Savior, as the King who sets and reigns on our personal heart, of us being consecrated, yea, surrendered to Him by allowing Him to have the right to make the final decisions in our life. Who has the right to make the final decision in your life? If it's anyone but the Lord, is idolatry. Yeah, amen. To allow Him to change you, to allow Him to grow you, to be more like Himself. Amen. So when that's happening, folks, this sounds like the makings of a mountaintop experience. Amen. And certainly a reason to rejoice. So the requirements of a mountaintop experience, number one was, you got to be, what was it? I forgot what number one was. Yeah, you got to be saved, but the requirements, that's what it was, the requirements. The requirements, you have to be saved. So number two is, there's a rejoicing. See, I got another R. Rejoicing in the mountaintop experience. Folks, the people of the world, a lot of times they don't want the standards, they don't want the separation, they don't want to walk close to God, because they think they're not going to have any more fun. I suppose he won this guy to the Lord in Lisbon and was excited about him, praying the prayers. But you know what he held off from doing it for? He said, what happens Friday night if my buddies want to go get a beer? I can't go have a beer with them. I don't want to not have fun. He's deceived. Folks, drinking a beer isn't fun. Hey, 4 hours saved. In my life, I have one sip. It tasted like vomit. My mama said, don't drink things that taste like vomit. Amen? So if you're hooked on beer, it wasn't because you were born that way. You developed that taste. That's nasty. Amen? I'm just helping us here. Wow. Well, when we're on the mountaintop because we're saved, we're living for Him, there's a rejoicing. Far more fun than you'll ever have drinking a beer. And here's what happened in our text. Look back at it. Chapter 17 and verse number 2. Here we go. So they're on the mountaintop. Who are they on the mountaintop with? Jesus. All right, watch this. Verse 2. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then Peter answered and said unto the Lord, or unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Folks, the mountaintop experience, the rejoicing, they seen Jesus Christ in His glory. They seen Him transfigured. They seen the same God that Isaiah seen that was high and lifted up. Because God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. And His face did outshine the sun. And His raiment was white. White as the light, folks. He is pure. And He's holy, and He's God, and there's none else. And our God transcends His creation. That means he's in a class all by himself. The Old Testament prophets put it like this. There's God and there's none else. Amen. Now the devil, he may be the epitome of evil, but he's not the opposite of God. God's in a class all by himself. And these men, this inner circle, whoo, man, they got to go with the Lord up on top of a mountain. And then they got a glimpse of His glory. And even Peter, and his not knowing what to say, said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. See, there's a rejoicing in the mountaintop. They've seen the glory of God. Now, amen. Well, we also saw Moses and Elijah. It's kind of interesting. They're talking with Jesus. And that's kind of recorded there in Luke 9. We may read some of that here in a little bit. But they're talking about His death, His demise, His decease. So my imagination kicked in right there, and I'm thinking, you know what? You can have your own imagination. This one's mine. If that's what they were talking about, I kind of imagine in my mind Jesus saying, hey, Moses and Elijah, when y'all go back on down there to yonder to paradise, you know, Abraham's bosom, because that's where they were at that time point. He says, I want you to go down there. I want you to tell them it won't be long now. Go ahead and pack their suitcase where we're going home and just be a little while nothing. So I'm going to be down there and lead captivity captive, and we're out of there. That's what I'm figuring he was talking about. Yeah, amen. Well, Peter, you know, he sticks his foot in his mouth. He didn't know what to say. He was blown away. And God had to help him focus. Sometimes in our emotions, they can lead us other ways. And I'm not against emotion, but I'm against emotions leading. See, if God's dealing with my heart, there's going to be an emotional response because I have emotions because God has emotions. I'm made in His image. So are you. So I'm not afraid of emotion. You just can't let them lead. Because when they lead, you start saying things you don't know what you're talking about. And God's got to refocus everything. And He did that with Peter. And what did they do? He focused on Jesus. Because when they looked around, they seen no other man but Jesus. Then they heard the voice of God. Amen. They heard the voice of God and they're just flat blown away. They said, this is my beloved Son. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Amen. See, it's always about Jesus Christ. It's always been about Jesus Christ. It's always going to be about Jesus Christ. So when you're saved and walking with God and you're on the mountaintop and God chooses to give you a glimpse of His glory, woo! And not only are you enjoying His glory and enjoying His presence, and then you hear the voice of God. In other words, you're hearing from God. So they've seen the glory of God and they heard the voice of God. I'm saying there is some rejoicing on that mountaintop. Well, amen. Well, they heard the voice of God. They saw the glory of God. Shouldn't that be our desire? To see the glory of God? When you come to church, do you desire to get a glimpse of Him? I do. Honestly, that's one of the main reasons I come. I want to see if He's showing up. And when I come, I even ask for this. You know what I'm asking? God, I want to hear from You. I want to hear from Your man. I want to hear from Your Word. I want to hear from the Spirit of God using Your man with Your Word. Because that's how we hear from Him. Has God ever spoke to your heart from His Word? Has it ever happened in the church house? Amen. I'm thinking we can have us a mountaintop experience in the church house. Us folks, we call that revival. Catch a glimpse of His glory. We'd hear from Him. Amen. Amen. And what we hear? Hey, this is my Son. He's the only begotten. Hear ye Him. In other words, obey Him. Jesus only. So the number one requirement to have a mountaintop experience is you got to be saved. And then there's rejoicing in that mountaintop experience. And now for the third one, another R. Hallelujah. It's returning from the mountaintop experience. This is what I wanted to get us focused on. Is in verse number 9. Look at it. Verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And the disciples asked Him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? And anyway, they begin to have this conversation with the Lord. So think with me. They're saved. They're separated. They're walking with Jesus. And Jesus chose to have them see a glimpse of His glory and to hear the voice of God. They have a rejoicing in it. Well, now it's time to come down. And when they're coming down, what are they doing? They're asking Jesus some doctrinal questions. Jesus is answering them some doctrinal questions. Folks, that's a good thing to help keep the emotions in check, is keep it doctrinal. We're not talking about wildfire. I'm not afraid of wildfire because doctrine can put it out. Folks, I'd even almost like rather have a little bit of fire than be in a graveyard. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, you get me sidetracked. But so they're talking about doctrine, and they're communing with the Lord. They're meditating on what just happened. They're enjoying the moment. Look at me. And they're coming down the mountain. Okay? See the picture? So they've had this mountaintop experience. They've rejoiced in it. Now they're coming down. They're talking doctrine. They're meditating. They're musing on the Word of God. Yeah, amen. All right, well, here we go. Verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell no man the vision till the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." All right, drop down to verse 14. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus' apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your..." What's it say, church? What a rebuke. Because of their unbelief. Seems like they struggled with belief the other day when their boat was full, but it wasn't sinking. Yeah. So they're going through trials is the point here. And a good parallel is over in Mark. You can turn there's one, but just stay in Matthew 8, or 17, it's our text. But Mark 9:14, it says, "When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' One of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath the dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he saith unto him, and he answered him and saith, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me.' And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked of his father, 'How long ago since it came, or this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child, and oft times you have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.' And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe.'" You know this. "Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried, rending sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privily, saying, or "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." All right, now, Lord, help me to make this clear. They have this mountaintop experience. They see the glory of God. They heard the voice of God. They're coming down from the mountain. They're communing with God, Jesus, dealing with doctrine. They're meditating on it. And they know more and get to the bottom of the mountain and smack right in their face, boom, here is a crowd, and they're right back to work as they came down from the mountain. Folks, we've had a good week. I believe we caught a couple of glimpses of God as He passed by. I believe we've heard from Him this week. He spoke to hearts. There were decisions made. Amen? Am I making this up? No, that's what happened. That qualifies for a mountaintop experience. We was rejoicing what's been going on this week, have we not? It ended at lunchtime there when we wrapped it up. Okay? And now this afternoon, this is another service, but it's just a warning. Hey, as we're coming down from the mountain, when we go back to work tomorrow, it's back to the real world. And is your faith ready for the trials that are going to come? See, these disciples, they couldn't even cast this thing out. And Jesus very plainly says, it's because you're unbelief. And then another passage says, this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer. But he was telling about how to deal with the unbelief. Maybe we ought to set some time aside coming down from this mountain to fast. And at the very least, pray that the Lord protect our faith. Because these storms we go in has the potential to rattle our faith. Every one of us can expect some kind of trials. I'm not trying to be discouraging, but it's the truth. You spend a mountaintop experience with God, when you come down, you're going to face some trials. So I don't want it to hit blindsided. Like, where did this come from? We were all week with God. What's going on? Oh no, we're in trouble. No. It's part of how it works. It's your faith being tested. So, man, I'm in a storm and my boat's full, but it's not sinking. God's sustaining grace is still here. We just heard from Him this week, and the decisions you made, they'll be tested. God wants to see if you was for real with Him. Maybe some of you really stepped out and made some faith promise that's stretching your faith. Count on it being tested to the point you might lose your job tomorrow. Or something might break that's going to take a lot of money. I'm not being mean. Lord, just saying, are you going to trust me? Storms are going to happen. And how do we combat it? Well, we fast and pray. What? To stay on praying ground. That's how you defeat the unbelief. The unbelief that's generated from the storms. And just said, hey, what are you guys talking to my men about? He could tell he's kind of like in a little bit of a heated argument going on. Oh, there's Jesus. And boom. Right, I mean, it just got down off the mountain and they're surrounded. And here's this crisis. Right? What an example for us. As we come down from the mountain, having heard from God this week, having made some decisions, having thought about it, and I know you've thought about it because I've had some of you even talk to me about thinking about these things that happened this week. Well, the relevancy of the Scripture. Careful. Don't let your faith slip. Just keep on trusting God. We'll be back to work on Monday morning. Amen? And you think Monday's going to go good? Huh, it's Monday. How many's ever had a Monday before? Sometimes I had a whole week of them. Well, amen. So see, the testing is to see if we meant business with God. God's allowing the trials, listen, to build your faith. Not tear it down. And, oh, preacher, I don't really want to deal with this one because I don't want to be negative like the last deal of the week. But, you know, He might allow some trials to spank you. See what He's talking about? Because He spoke to your heart this week and you said no. It's not a good idea telling God no. Anybody ever been in the woodshed besides me? It's an uncomfortable place. In fact, there's seasons in my life I think I had like reservation in the woodshed. It's funny now, but it wasn't so much then. Amen? So some of the trials might be, I told you to listen to me, and you didn't. So we're going to have an invitation here again, at least the next hour and a half. I'm teasing. But here in just a couple of minutes, there's something God's been dealing with your heart about all week. Deal with it now. It's better than dealing with it after the spanking. If God put on your heart to give the faith promise, you think, well, I'm going to just hold out a little bit. We already had a record, a number here. Well, they're doing okay. They won't miss my $25. Friend, if God told you to put $25 in, I'd be more scared about his spanking than whether they hit $50,000 or not. Because this isn't about money with God. This is personal with him. Amen? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just warning your people. So he brought all of us to a decision point this week. If you've surrendered and made decisions, then those tests to be to see if you're for real. If you didn't and should have, it's a spanking. Either side is to build our faith, not rattle it. Don't let the devil slip up on your shoulder and say, hey, see there, God doesn't even care. Wait a minute, that's what the disciples fuss about in the boat. Master, master, carest thou not? Don't go there. Oh, Master, because you do care, I'm here, and you're teaching me to trust you. And watch God be God. Amen? So as they came down, slap right in the face, right back, welcome back to work, Bubba. And Monday's coming. As we come down, be ready. Whatever needs to be dealt with right now, God's given that opportunity. Let's deal with the Lord on it. Amen? If you need to see the preacher after the preacher, I didn't get my paper here. Here's my paper. I should have. I didn't. And the Lord dealt with me. Anyway, here it is. You know, he's not going to go, well, you heathen, you should have done it. He's not going to say, he's just going to say, thank you, brother. What? Your pastor's gracious like that. He learned graciousness from the Lord. Our Lord is gracious. Amen. All right, let's all stand together. Father, as we come down now from this special week, you've allowed us to have the privilege to experience, to give us a glimpse of yourself, to speak to our heart from your word and from the testimonies of the missionaries and the music that was sung. Oh God, help us be ready for Monday. Strengthen our faith even now. Keep it strong. Put a protective hedge about this church and her people and the friends of this church. Lord, that we might remain faithful till you come. Lord, thank you for how that your word is so relevant. Here's an experience of how your men came down from the mountain, got thrown right back in the fires of everyday life, and it challenged their faith. Help us stand ready now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.